Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Imagine if in last week's game, the pitcher hit the strike zone 30% more. Or the pinch hitter made 30% more contact with the ball. Might have changed the outcome, huh? Now imagine you just saved up to 30% on your car insurance for driving safe with the USAA SafePilot app. That's definitely a game changer. Visit usaa.com/safepilot to start saving. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. United Services Automobile Association SafePilot is optional. Active USAA auto policy required for discount. Only in select states. Smartphone and download of SafePilot app required. Earned driving discount offered at renewal and based on all rated drivers on policy. Discount may vary by state or life of policy. United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
There's a segment of our population, and it may be growing. I get the sense that it's growing. A segment of our population is looking back to the 2020 election and saying, my gosh, what do we either A, do to ourselves, or B, they are thoroughly convinced that we are enduring all of this pain, all this anti-Americanism, all of this fall of our country unnecessarily. That the elections that took place, and you've seen evidence of this in movies like 2000 Mules and the follow-up book of 2000 Mules. You've seen documentary after documentary after documentary detailing some serious issues that we have with America's elections. And now when you look at what's going on out there in Arizona and what's happening in Harris County in Texas, people are going, well, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's turning out that what was being regarded as a conspiracy theory because left-wingers in the press, in and out of the press, wanted to have Donald Trump gone and no more pro-Americanism, no more America firstism, none of that, that they were willing to not only overlook, but maybe even enable what some would regard as cheating, what others would regard as fraud, what others would say was a stolen election. Now, from the very beginning, the Chris Salcedo shows and the Salcedo Storm podcast have never gone with the quote-unquote fraud example. We have never said, well, there's fraud, and that's what caused the election to be illegitimate, the election of Beijing Biden. What we have said from the very beginning and still maintain to this day is that laws were broken, laws were violated in the 2020 election by public officials, by elected officials. In other words, laws were not adhered to, election laws were not adhered to in the 2020 election. Thus, we have observed the following. Can you have an election that is free and fair if you violate your laws? And the answer, of course, is yes, you can. It's possible. But also there's a corollary to that that says it is also equally possible that you had a fraudulent election because you violated your laws. Now, there's something I want to direct you to. It's now a year old. This is now over a year old. Do states have the right to break their election laws? That is a question that was posited by the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax. And I'm not going to play haul 18 minutes for you. I'll let you go on Rumble because you can't find it on YouTube. YouTube doesn't even permit the discussion of the rule of law. That shows you that YouTube is a communist platform that doesn't want to talk about American law. But it is allowed on Rumble. And do states have the right to break their election laws is the title. That's what you go and search for. It's a Newsmax video, and here's how it begins. Listen.
We'll be doing the first in a series of preambles that deal with a double standard that we're all being asked to accept. Some states have to obey election laws. Other states don't have to obey election laws. Save these discussions and pass them on to your kids. Should states be allowed to violate their own election laws? We deal first with Pennsylvania in tonight's preamble. Article 1, Section 4 of the United States Constitution states, "The times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof." Now, unless you have the limited mental capacity inherent among socialist Democrats, that clause in our mutual compact is quite clear.
Indeed, it is quite clear. And that's exactly the contention of the Chris Salcedo Show, is that the Constitution of the United States doesn't allow governors or Supreme Courts in the various states to decide which laws get to be adhered to. That is the exclusive responsibility of the legislature. So saying, oh, the China virus pandemic is here, that means we get to violate the law. That is not the way it's done. Four states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia did this. They violated their state's election laws in 2020. And at the very least, in my opinion, an investigation needed to be had, an examination to see what type of elections were undertaken in those states before an election was certified. And they never did. They never held those investigations, and to this day, still have not. But there have been chinks in the armor. There have been cracks in the cover story of the 2020 election. And folks are starting to openly discuss, in particular because of all the misery unleashed on this country by those who are loyal to communist China over loyalty to the United States. People are starting to say, wait a minute. Let's have a second look, maybe a third look, maybe a fourth look at what's going on, or what went on, I should say, in the 2020 election. My next guest is doing one of those examinations on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
Christina Bobb currently serves as an attorney for President Trump. She's an investigative reporter and former television show host and correspondent with One America News Network. Christina began her legal career in the United States Marine Corps, serving as a defense counsel representing Marines and sailors in court-martial and administrative separation hearings. She's the author of a brand new book, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Christina, welcome to the Chris Salcedo Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you again. Look, let me ask you a question about just in general, 30,000 feet up. I don't want you to give away everything in the book, but a nice overview of what you found in your investigation of what happened in 2020.
Yeah, the way I would describe it is Democrats stole the election and Republicans covered it up. I was really surprised at the level of participation and obstruction coming from within. When I say the Republican Party, I don't necessarily mean the RNC, although I suppose you could infer that, but really within the established Republican politicians. We had plenty of people in plenty of positions that could have investigated and cleaned up some of the clear crimes. And none of them did. I mean, we had Republican attorney generals in Arizona and Georgia, Republican district attorneys, multiple district attorneys all over Wisconsin. We had the Racine County Sheriff actually referred charges to the Republican district attorney in Racine. She refused to prosecute. I mean, the level of obstruction from Republicans was what shocked me the most.
Right. It was, it became verboten. Even even media corporations out there were telling their so-called free speech talk talent that they couldn't talk about the election. That you can find, folks, just go look up major media companies and censorship election 2020, and you will see that major companies did this as well, because it seemed that it was the America First agenda. And the, I mean, I think it's fair to say the brashness of which President Trump pushed it, what really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Absolutely. I mean, we have an establishment that wants to become a global domination, which means America and the American people lose the power that we have because they're trying to siphon it into a collect few. For example, the World Economic Forum that says you will own that by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. Well, I don't think that's the goal of most Americans, is to own nothing and be happy. Yet that's the road that we're on with this globalist movement. And Donald Trump has been trying to stop it. And so they are throwing everything at him to try to stop him from stopping them. This is absolutely a battle for, I mean, Joe Biden said it best, a battle for the soul of the nation. Are we going to remain a free, self-governed nation with people who elect their own leaders and decide their own fate? Or are we going to turn it over to a cabal of elitists that take everything from us and tell us what we're allowed to have?
Brian Kemp, Raffensperger, right. What's her name? Jocelyn Benson. Those are some names that I have been harping on. What names am I missing as far as individuals, both Republican and Democrat, who said, yeah, looks like there's cheating. We're going to make sure we bury it.
Yeah. Well, just to point out the names that you named, only one of those is actually a Democrat. But the Republicans I would add to the list, Robin Voss in Wisconsin, Jake Corman up in Pennsylvania. I mean, they're kind of all over the place. All four of the five members of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors in Arizona are Republican. That is a strong Republican majority, and yet they did everything they could to impede the Arizona Senate's investigation. They did successfully impede it to some degree because they never got to complete their audit.
Right.
And then look at what happened to Carrie Lake in 2022. So, there's a lot there. I actually focus more on Republicans than I do Democrats because it's our side, and you know we can fix our own side. If we just take care of ourselves, we'll be fine. The problem is we've got Republicans blocking the way, blocking clean and fair elections, and we got to get them out of the way and get good people in there. And what I mean by that is you don't have to run for office, although if you do, great. I just mean get in there and volunteer, participate in the process, become a poll worker, become a challenger, you know, work for your county or whatever it is, whatever capacity you have, do that. If we all just clean up our own precincts and our own counties, we'll be fine. But these Republicans have been making it pretty hard.
Yeah, in my mind, they haven't been my side in many, many moons. Christina Bob is our guest right now, folks. Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Since the 2020 election, this show has been focused not on the nebulous charge of fraud. What we've been focused on, and I'm the aforementioned Jocelyn Benson, who happens to be one of the few Democrats I mentioned, but... Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into Carrie Lake in greater focus here in a minute. But we've been focused on the breaches of law because, in my view, it is wrong for states to violate their election laws, which we know. Now Democrats disagree with me.
Concept.
I know Democrats disagree with me. Democrats say it's perfectly permissible for states to break their own election laws. I just disagree. Mitch McConnell says it's okay for states to break their election laws. I fundamentally disagree. But we focused on the four states, you mentioned them already, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, and what they did to break their laws. In fact, and I'm wondering why this is, and maybe you have an answer, maybe you don't, Christina. Up in Michigan, a judge banged his gavel saying, yeah, Jocelyn Benson broke our election laws, but the woman's still walking around. Why haven't those why haven't those adjudications happened in the other four, three states?
Well, some of them have. Like, if you look at Wisconsin, the state legislature there appointed Michael Gableman, Justice Michael Gableman, to do an investigation. In his report, he determined that there was bribery, that the money donated to the five big cities from the Zuckerbucks was a prima facie case of bribery. You have these liberal nonprofits coming in, giving millions and millions of dollars to elected officials in exchange for access to the elections and in exchange for administrative control over the election. That's bribery.
Wow.
And nobody prosecuted. I mean, that's my point. And you've got Republican district attorneys all over the states that could prosecute, and they haven't. And then you've got the Arizona Senate that found many, many laws broken in the part of the audit that they were able to do. You had the chain of custody was broken. The evidence seals were cut. You had over 168,000 ballots that were printed on paper that doesn't conform to the county's requirements. I mean, there's a myriad of things that occurred, all in Republican districts. And the point that I'd like to make is we were up in arms over the defund the police movement, right? We're all upset, saying we don't like this movement. It's anti-American, blah, blah, blah. But what about those Republican prosecutors that have authority to prosecute and don't? How is that any different from the defund the police movement? Because all it does, it takes a little bit longer to cycle through the system. But at the end of the day, the result is the same, lawlessness. And so let's clean up our side. Let's hold our own attorney general and district attorneys and everybody with the authority to do something about this accountable, get involved, and we can clean it up. But right now, we've got a bunch of Republicans sitting around going, look at those crazy Democrats. They're so bad.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear what you're saying. And so what my sense has been, and I said this at a speech over the weekend, that when things will change is when the Republican Party wakes up in the morning, and instead of saying Mitch McConnell wakes up, John Cornyn wakes up, leaders of the Republican Party, they wake up every morning and say, how can we give in to Democrats today and try to convince our elected people who elected us that we're actually fighting for them and not surrendering to the enemy?
Yeah.
So when the Republican Party actually gets up and says, hey, I think it'd be a good idea to oppose Democrats today, that's when things are going to change. So let me ask you this question about that. Mm-hmm. Do you think that these Republicans were just tired of Trump insisting that Republicans be an opposition party, and they were sick and tired of it, so they just wanted to get rid of him, so they just let the Democrats get away with what they got away with?
No, I actually think it's worse than that. I think they've been doing it for decades and lying to us, and they have become the party of cowards. They've become the party of let's go along to get along. They haven't been fighting for conservative values for decades. I mean, when was the last time we saw like a real conservative fight? I mean, I can't think of one. So I think that they are all part of the status quo. They don't mind that Democrats want to be the radical group. And okay, fine, let them do that. As long as I get to keep my seat, as long as I get to keep my deals going, you know, bringing myself millions of dollars, they're fine with it. They don't care. I don't think any of them actually truly care about kids. When I say any of them, I mean the Mitch McConnells of the world. I don't think any of them actually truly care. I do think we're seeing some, like Kevin McCarthy, who I would say has been in that category probably for most of his career. He will go along to get along. He partners with the swamp. However, I do think he's recognizing that the party, the people, the American people are changing, and we are fundamentally changing the party. And I do think there are Kevin McCarthy, along with several others, who are in this position of now they have to make a choice. Are they going to continue to side with the establishment that they've sided with? Or are they going to side with their constituents and actually do what their people want? Now, I will give Kevin McCarthy credit. I don't do that normally, but I will in the instance of the speaker vote. He could have done what we usually see do, and all those 20 that voted against him, you know, he could have made their lives miserable, kicked them off committees and all that, but he didn't do that. That, to me, was the first sign of life we have seen out of our Congress in a really long time. Congress was meant to be a place where they debate, where they disagree over things, and where they actually confront each other for the purpose of making it better for the American people. And that's what that speakership vote did. So I give them all credit for that.
Right. And of course, the 20, the rebel 20s, and we say that with affection, the rebel 20, they were important. They were needed. And so Kevin McCarthy was forced, out of practicality's sake, to concede to some of their demands. And they were they, the majority of the Republican caucus, the Republican voters, were with them and not with the rest of the folks who were voting for status quo, which was making it the Speaker's House rather than the people's house. Christina Bobb is our guest, folks. The name of the book, Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election and What It Means for 2024. So let me just, before we get to Arizona, you know about the book 2000 Mules and the documentary 2000 Mules.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where does all of that factor in to your research?
That is in addition to it. It is, I mentioned it. I think I have a couple sentences in there on what they did, just referencing the reader, you know, to supplement the reading with their research and their information. But I mean, it wasn't my research, right? It was theirs. So it's not really in my book. My research really focused on the politicking of the election and what investigations got done and which ones didn't get done. And so there's a lot of firsthand stories of my interviews of elected officials, speakers of assembly, county clerks, witnesses on the ground on election day. I talked to many poll workers and challengers, and I take their stories and compile it. A lot of the book is actually written in narrative format, so you can read through exactly what they experienced and how they experienced it. And then, you know, and then I have some facts and data in there too. It's not super heavy, but people want to know how many illegal voters, how many did people vote, all that. I've got some pieces of that in there too. But most of it is narrative format of what actually happened by the people who were there.
Well, and that leads us to Arizona, because right now, by the way, Carrie Lake out over the weekend saying to the two-time convicted racist, white Democrat socialist, Katie Hobbs, don't get too comfortable, she's saying. I love her enthusiasm, and I'm wondering, and I was talking to some of her legal folks, and they seem to think that they've got a great case to invalidate Maricopa County's ballots because of the lack of chain of custody, among other things.
Yeah.
But, and this is the thing, what happened in Arizona was even more in your face in 2022 than what happened in 2020.
Because they
said, yeah, we recognize that we had the wrong size ballots, the wrong size printer. We were disenfranchising, 25-30% of the voters, but we're going to force this election on you anyway. So nobody.
Yes, and they didn't even acknowledge that until after they had lied under oath.
Right.
At first, they were like, no, none of that was a problem. It wasn't an issue. And then when Carrie Lake's legal team put forward evidence that it actually was an issue and then called them back onto the stand, they were like, oh, yeah, we knew. So, so you're acknowledging you lied under oath to try to deceive us because you didn't think we actually had the evidence. Once we proved we had the evidence, now you're capitulating, and the judge still sided with them. I mean, Carrie Lake, I believe she won that election. I believe it was stolen from her. And I also believe she won her court case. She met her burden of proof. The problem with it was the judge changed the law. The judge set a standard that would be impossible to meet. I mean, Carrie Lake shows over 500,000 votes that either were illegally added or should never have been counted, problems with over 500,000 votes. When you look at the margin of victory, it's only 17,000. And oh, by the way, in a statement coming from Maricopa County a day or two after the election, they put out a statement and they said, We know that there were problems on election day and people were worried that they were disenfranchised. But don't worry, it only impacted less than 7% of the people.
I know, right?
And it equals, and he says this in the statement, and that equals only about 17,000 votes.
Oh, come on.
Don't worry, it only impacted enough to change the outcome of the election.
Yeah, and they admit it. So everybody admits that there were thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of votes impacted and disenfranchised, but they're saying live with it anyway because your government sucks and you voted for us, so deal. And we don't want Carrie Lake because she's going to stop our beloved illegal aliens from streaming into Arizona. And it's sick and it's twisted. And let me just ask you your legal opinion. Do you think she's going to be able to get this over the finish line and overturn this thing?
It 100% depends on the integrity of the judges on the Court of Appeals.
Oh, dear God.
Because she has proven her case. She has more than enough evidence. By the way, the standard in Arizona is the election uncertain? Is there any question that the number that they certified is not the correct number? Is there any level of uncertainty?
Well,
that's all it takes.
Chain of custody by itself, you can say that.
Correct.
But then
she has more than met the burden, and yet they're not siding with her. So, yeah, I think she should win this appeal, but it 100% depends on the integrity of the judges.
And folks, signature verification was also dialed down to zero. It's Georgia all over again out there in Arizona.
Yep.
They didn't want to know whose chicken scratch was on the ballots, and they did it on purpose. There is no justification for taking signature verification down to zero, but the air quotes Republicans did it in Arizona.
That's exactly right.
Election reform efforts in Georgia after the 2020 election, election integrity efforts in Texas that caught, by the way, 10,000 stolen votes in a primary from a Democrat socialist in Harris County. And by the way, just so you know, Christina, Harris County has the most election challenges from the 2022 election in our state's history because it was so corrupt and crooked here in the city of Houston. Let me just ask you, do you think that those election integrity initiatives were enough, or do you think more needs to be done?
I think more needs to be done. Obviously, you know, I was disappointed with the 2022 results as well, and I think we need to do more. I think it's not just what has been made abundantly clear, I think, by the 2022 election is that we can't rely on our elected leaders to do anything. We've given them 2 years to correct this problem, and they didn't do enough to give us the level of comfort that our elections have been cleaned up. So it comes down to the American people. We have to get involved. You've got to get involved in your local precinct. You've got to get involved in your county. If you're retired and weren't planning on going back to work, get a job at your county. You know what I mean? Like, do whatever you can, because we have to clean this up by 2024 or we're going to be in a world of hurt. It's going to be very, very hard after 2024 to continue to correct this. So we have made some progress. It's not enough. This is an all-hands-on-deck situation. We need everybody volunteering at the polls. We need everybody being election workers who can be election workers. If you have a grassroots organization in your area, please get involved there. If you don't have one, start one. This is an all hands on deck situation. Texas as well. I go through a little bit of Texas in the book. They are absolutely after Texas. So we the people have to secure our own election.
Amen to that. David Horowitz, one of your fellow authors, says that 2024 may be our last election. And
It all comes down to whether we do enough to get involved and change it, because we can't sit back and hope that our leaders are going to do it. We've given them 2 years to do it, and they've proven they won't.
Christina Bob, everybody. The name of the book, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election and what it means for 2024. Lady, appreciate the time. Folks, that's going to do it for the Salcedo Storm podcast, this edition anyway. Make sure you visit a couple of websites. First website I want you to visit is TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. All the big news in Texas. And if it's big in Texas, it means it's going to impact the entirety of the country. And if we're having the debates here about policy, chances are you should be having them in your states. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's how you can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. You can also track down the Chris Salcedo show on Newsmax, 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 5 Eastern, Monday through Friday. And while you're at ChrisSalcedo.com, check out some of the other things there, like mechanisms to drop me an email, a voicemail, or book me for a speech. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.